Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project, the holiday episodes. We invite you to sit back, relax, maybe grab yourself a hot cocoa, and enjoy these holiday episodes. And if they aren't relaxing enough for you to drift off, we invite you to listen to our past two seasons of episodes and see if there's one in there that'll bring you to sleep or slumber. But for now, we hope you enjoy this holiday episode, and feel free to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and join our Patreon and help keep the Insomnia Project on the airwaves. We wish you and your family all the best for a holiday season that's safe and sound. And now help me welcome my guest, Liz McEachran. Welcome, Liz McEachran, and I'm pretty sure I got your name wrong.
That is my last name.
Did I get it right?
Yes, you got it.
Okay, because I felt like I said your name wrong in the past.
There's two ways to say it. Okay. It's McEachran or McEachran.
Okay, and either one is fine.
Either is fine.
Okay, good.
Perfect.
I make a lot of mistakes with people's names, and I know it's...
There was a hockey player named Scott McEachran. He played for Ottawa.
Any relation?
No.
Do you like hockey?
Yeah.
Because it's a winter sport, right?
Yeah. Well, I like playing it. I don't cheer
enjoy
for
watching
any team.
It as...
Not really.
So when you play it...
Except when we're winning, so...
Which in the past has not been as much as it should be. What did you enjoy playing? Like, did you have a position in hockey that you would
I actually played ringette, which is like hockey.
Sure.
So it's like you have this big rubber ring and like a cut off hockey stick, and the stick goes into the ring like a donut hole. And then
Played in a rink, right?
But not yeah, it's
ice
on
rink.
Ice.
Oh,
on
it is
ice,
on ice.
On
oh,
ice,
okay.
Yeah. So the girls played ringette and the boys played hockey.
I see.
And then when I went to university, I did a little intramural hockey. It was fun.
What's your favorite thing about playing hockey?
Versus ringette. With hockey, it's easier to get a puck. With ringette, you have to poke the ring.
Oh.
But, like, with hockey, you just shoot the puck, and it's easier.
What's the actual ringette made of?
It's made of rubber.
Oh, it's made of rubber. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. And it's such a great segue into this episode because, you know, hockey and ringette are winter sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about wintry things and holiday things.
And yeah, exactly. And we used to have an ice rink on our property because
it was on
a farm. And the field would flood, and then there'd be this huge sheet of ice.
So you wouldn't flood the field. It would flood
and then
freeze.
It would just freeze. And then one day, like, my parents had an ice skating party, and there were, like, 100 kids. A bunch of kids we didn't even know showed up. People were just dropping their kids off.
That's so great.
Mm-hmm.
So this must have been a vast hockey, or this must have been a vast ice skating rink or field.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know what you'd call it, because it's not a rink. It's a ice.
Yeah, it's just an outdoor ice surface.
Wow.
But, like, the neighbors, they had irrigation in their crops, so then it meant that our field flooded. So if with the right conditions, no snow, if it just froze.
You had a great ice patch.
Yeah, had a great ice patch.
Wow. Have you ever gone skating on the Rideau Canal in Ottawa?
I have never done that.
You know what I'm talking about, yes. Though, right? So for our international listeners, I should say that there's this image that most Canadians are familiar with. The Rideau Canal is a canal in Ottawa that freezes over. And you'll see photos of people skating on the canal. It's a very wintry scene mm-hmm. that we're all familiar with. I don't know if it's
in our capital, so yeah. It's like kind of this romanticized vision of... I guess some people skate to work.
On the canal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that they have, like, beaver tails you can purchase on the canal. Beaver tail, I should mention, is like a very flat pancake-like donut that they'll put maple syrup or
really
lemon
good.
And
cinnamon. And it looks like a beaver tail.
Some places call them elephant ears. Like, they'll have those kind of, that same type of dough, fried dough, but they call them elephant ears.
But they're not Canadian.
No, exactly. Tell me about, okay, so let me ask you this. What's the farm like when it snows in the winter? It must be beautiful. Like you're in the area you grew up.
Yeah, because you don't get all the, like the dirt from the city. Like they sand the roads,
sure.
But like on the driveway, they don't sand it. So in the city, mm-hmm. you know, the snow is dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So after the first snowfall in Toronto, for example.
I should explain to people who are listening in places that don't have snow that in order to make surfaces less slippery, including roads, they will often have trucks that will either throw sand on top of the snow and ice or salt or mm-hmm. a mixture of both. And so what that ultimately does...
It raises the temperature, the freezing point, so that the water doesn't freeze.
Right.
So you don't slip on the road when you're driving and on the sidewalks too.
Right, true. But on the farm, that's not the case.
No, the neighbor had a snowplow and would come in and plow the driveway.
So it's a vision of white, I bet, mm-hmm. when it snows. Oh,
yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I guess the crops, any like crops that still have stalks and stuff get covered in snow.
Yeah, they would be covered.
Oh, that's wonderful. That brings me to Christmas memories. So I wanted to...
That reminds me of one of my Christmases, actually.
Okay, let's start there then.
So one Christmas, my dad has two brothers, and so they, you know, they have kids. And so one Christmas, we decided to have a big Christmas, and everybody came, like my grandparents and then my cousins. And because, like, one set of cousins didn't usually come because they live far away. But this particular Christmas, everybody came. And then everybody, we were a little tipsy by the time it was noon, except
sure.
for like me and my brother Stuart, because we were underage. So, but everybody else, and my brother Jamie. So then my cousin Donna decided that we should go on a hayride. So then my brother went out and got the tractor and hooked up a wagon, got a bunch of hay bales and put them on the wagon.
Amazing.
Drove it up to the house, and everybody hopped on this wagon. And then he drove it out into the field to take us on this hayride. And then my dad falls off the wagon.
Oh, no. I love that
he falls off
the wagon.
But here's the thing. He falls in a snowbank,
okay.
And he was so drunk he didn't know that he had fallen in a snowbank. And
oh,
he gets up, gets back on the wagon.
I love it.
And then he falls off again.
Listen.
Not hurt.
Fair enough. There's plenty of snow, it sounds
gets
like.
Gets back on the wagon for a third time, falls off the wagon.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was like a big highlight.
How old were you at this time?
I think I must have been about 12.
Okay. So that must have been hilarious for a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, like to watch everybody happy and everyone drunk at Christmas. And I was just laughing at my dad falling off the wagon.
Oh, that's so funny.
Not getting hurt because he was drunk and it was a snowbank.
I should mention what a snowbank is to our listeners.
Yes.
Because they might be like, what, did he go to a bank that had snow? A snowbank is sort of a piling of snow on the bank of the road or the side of a river or on the side of a...
Yeah, it's basically a big snow hill.
A lot of times when you plow...
Yeah.
You end up with snowbanks on either side
yeah.
of where it's
and then
been plowed.
You get these little hills on
yeah.
the side of the road.
It's so funny to be talking about things that you just kind of grow up with and you never,
yeah.
you've never
you
ever
don't
heard
think of
a definition of it
mm-hmm.
because you've seen them. And then I'm always conscious of things that I might say or that me and my guest might say on this podcast that are specifically Canadian, because not all the world is like that. And I'm
mm-hmm.
sure in Norway they have a different term for what we call a snowbank.
Mm-hmm. I actually lived in London, England, and Oh, yeah. I have to say London, England, because in Canada, there's also another London.
Yes.
So that's why. So when I lived there, my New Zealand friend called me one day, and she was all excited because it was snowing, and she'd never seen snow before.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, went outside, and I'm like, this isn't snow. What is this?
I remember I had a phone that I lost at my cousin's house in a snowbank. And it was before iPhones. It was when the cell phones were very, very durable and very, and you could drop them a million times, and there was no glass screen. It was
right.
just a, maybe it was even a flip. No, I don't think it was a flip. But anyways, I couldn't find the phone. I thought I left it in my car.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home and I couldn't find it. And I said to my cousin, I said, Mauro, do you know where my phone? Did I leave it at your house? He's like, no, we looked. He goes, call it. And I called it. And he's like, let me go outside. And I'll search for it, right? And so he goes, just keep calling it. Maybe you dropped it on my driveway. And he's like, all of a sudden, he goes, I could see a flashing light in a snowbank from inside. As if it. As
so
as
you
if,
could see it through the snow.
He could
see
the
light
the snow.
Through the snow.
And so he says, I was digging like a St. Bernard looking for your phone.
Right.
And he goes, and I found it. And it was fine. Nothing happened to it. It worked perfectly fine. It was. I think it was a Nokia or Nokia, however mm-hmm. you say it, one of those phones that was indestructible at the time.
Yeah.
And it was my favorite phone. And now if I look at my iPhone the wrong way, it breaks. Let me ask you this. Do you have a fond memory of a Christmas present you may have unwrapped on Christmas morning? I can tell you mine. If you
okay,
need a moment
so
to think.
Yeah, so I asked for something that I saw on TV, and I actually got it.
Oh.
And it was called a Dancerella doll.
Oh, my goodness.
And I still remember it. There was, like, a commercial. Dancerella, Dancerella, you can make her dance again. So I still remember the commercial.
Sure.
So, like, she had a tutu on, and, like, she was dressed as a ballerina.
Okay.
And then she had, like, the ballet shoes. And then, like, her, you could bend her one leg up and put the other leg on the ground and then turn it on and, like, hold her crown. And then you would turn it on and then she would spin.
So would she be on a little platform of some sort?
No, like, you would just put her leg on the...
Oh, on any surface.
On any surface.
Wow.
And she would spin. And I love that doll. And then if you push down on the crown, her leg would move back and, like, up and down.
Okay.
So the one leg would be static, and she would spin on that leg
in circles.
And the other
leg would go up and down.
Yeah. That was Dancerella.
And Dancerella, she specifically danced ballet, it sounds like.
Yes, she was a ballerina.
She was a ballerina. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And did you name your Dancerella doll?
Well, it was Dancerella.
Oh,
that
was
her name.
Fair enough. Sorry. Clearly, I never had a Dancerella doll. And whatever happened...
That's funny. I never named my stuff.
I had a Stretch Armstrong, and I got a Stretch Armstrong for Christmas. And I don't know if you remember Stretch Armstrong, but it was a doll that kind of looked like Aquaman, if you know what Aquaman looks like. And you would pull his arms and legs, and they would just stretch and stretch and stretch. And then you'd let them go, and they'd sort of spring back.
Right.
And Stretch Armstrong was, like, so much fun because you could stretch it and it wouldn't break.
So you named him?
No, because it's Stretch Armstrong.
Right.
I don't think I...
But I never named my toys. And we even had, like, we get kittens and puppies and, you know, living on a farm.
Sure.
I never named them, usually.
Well, I guess on a farm, things are different, too.
There were like, so many,
or you need them in the barn. Did you guys have a barn?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so it was a working farm. So did you grow crops or did you have livestock?
We had... A few cattle and then
racehorses. That's fantastic.
So and they were like standard breeds or the kind where you sit in a buggy behind the horse.
Oh, what's that called?
Some people call them trotters.
Trotters,
but
okay.
But they were also pacers.
Mm-hmm.
But they raced.
And would they be fine with being outside in the winter, in the snow?
Yeah, I mean. Within reason, like
sure,
if it's
no,
really cold, you bring them in.
Mm-hmm. Because
it's actually better for them if like you let them out during the day, so they can get exercise, and then put them in at night.
Sure, because at night is when the temperature really can really drop and can get really cold. So,
and then if a horse is racing, then it might stay in the barn.
Fair. But, you know, that sort of brings to life dashing through the snow.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the
sun... Oh, we had a sleigh.
Did you really?
Well, it wasn't actually a sleigh. It was called a cutter.
Oh, tell me
cutter,
about that.
Cutter, C-U-T-T-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like a horse wagon, except it had skis.
Yeah, because
so it was like a sled.
That's the image I have.
Yeah.
When you read the lyrics to "Dashing Through the Snow," I don't even know the name of that carol, but
yeah, Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells. Thank you. I was like, what's the name of that?
Yeah. So it's,
the sleigh must be a cutter because that's the only image I can think of.
Yeah, it was called a cutter, and this is when I was really little. My dad would take one of the racehorses because they pull right,
yeah.
and then he would attach it to the cutter, and then he would take us around the farm.
That must have been fun.
Yeah. I was really little when he did that.
Wow.
We'd have blankets on and stuff.
And so let me ask you this. Did you have jingle bells on the sleigh?
I don't know. I don't think
okay.
we did.
Okay. Because that would have just been too perfect, right?
It was more like it was an old-fashioned cutter he probably had when he was a kid.
Wow. Now you see those kind of in not just museums, but like you'll go to a interesting restaurant and they'll have those kind of antiques there for you
to
see.
Yeah, we had that kind of stuff.
Oh,
like
wow.
we had an old plow and an old wagon wheels and stuff just hanging around.
So
like, what do you do with that stuff? You don't get rid of it. It just sticks around.
Sure, especially if you've got the space for it. You know, like, and I would imagine a farm, unlike the city, you have more space to put things.
It's true. You have 100 acres.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this then: what would you do for a Christmas tree? Would you get it on your property?
Oh, we had another property.
Okay.
Which was all forest. So it was like 200 acres of forest.
Okay.
Sometimes we'd take the cattle there to graze.
Sure.
So we go there every December and get a little tree and chop it down and bring it back.
Well, that's so great.
And then there was for a while, we actually had another family that my dad knew, and they would come with us and they would get their tree and we would get our tree.
How wonderful
is that?
So
it was always, we never had to buy a tree.
It's great when you can do that. I remember going, you know, as a family, to chop a tree down at a Christmas tree park, of course. We wouldn't just go to a place.
Just random.
We wouldn't go to, like, you know, a provincial park and chop something down or someone's property. We would go to a tree farm, is what I'm trying to say, and chop that tree down. Now, I have a cottage, and there's a pine tree that's just in the wrong spot and growing too big. So I'm thinking this year I might go.
You might chop it down.
Because it has to be. Unfortunately, it's going to have to be chopped down regardless.
Well, it's funny because we brought some back to the farm and planted them, and there were a couple that were getting too big.
Right.
So, like, we did cut those down for Christmas trees a couple years.
Well, I mean, it's a great way to, if it's going to be cut down, it's nice for the tree to have a second sort of viewing, if you will. Yeah.
But always at the last minute. So we would get our tree, like, 23rd, 24th of December.
Oh, you would get it at the last...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
always the last minute.
Why is that?
My parents procrastinate.
Okay.
Like, that's the only reason why.
I was thinking
tradition. But then it would stay up all of January.
Hey, listen.
So it would take forever to get us a tree, and then it would take forever to take it down again.
Oh, that's so great. I know that for my family... The tradition is by the 6th of January is when all the Christmas stuff should go down.
Oh.
Because that's the Epiphany, right?
Right.
So that is, and I don't know why that is, but that's the date where it's like.
Yeah, we're Presbyterian. There's no dates.
So let me ask you this. Then would you have wreaths and stuff that you'd build yourself with all the vegetation that you would have nearby?
Yeah, sometimes we made wreaths.
Cool. Yeah. I never made a. I made a wreath out of, you know, the plasticky stuff that you can get at a local craft shop, and we would pick up pine cones and spray paint them.
Mm. Oh no, we had there are pine trees around our area,
sure.
So like the church was actually in the pines.
Oh, was it?
So like there were pine trees surrounding the church that we went to. So there are lots of pine cones there.
Mm-hmm.
You just pick them.
So where you grew up, was there a lot of skiing and stuff? Was there a lot of winter activities? Like, did you have
mountains? Well, it was a hockey town.
Oh, it was a hockey town.
So people did. There was one cross-country skiing resort, but there wasn't a lot of downhill because there weren't a lot of, like, really big hills for downhill skiing. But there were people who would, like, you'd have to drive an hour or two to get to the, like, Devil's Elbow would be the closest, I think. So, like, minimum an hour's drive to, like,
a ski resort.
A downhill ski resort.
Sure.
But though it was kind of like almost everybody played hockey, and then people who didn't play hockey, if they were wealthier, they would downhill ski.
I see.
Because, like, buying the tickets and stuff costed more money than playing hockey.
Sure, it can get pretty pricey.
Like, nowadays, hockey's expensive, but back in the day, it wasn't really.
Right.
I don't know how the switch happened, but...
What about
snowmobiling?
About snowmobiling?
Yes, lots of people snowmobiled. It was like, people would snowmobile across the lakes. Oh, for those of you listening, a snowmobile...
Or skidoo.
Is like sort of like a motorcycle with skis on it. I don't know how to describe
that's
it.
That's the best way to describe
it. So like people for fun will just go out on their snowmobiles through the snow. So they would, there were lots of people, like my brother had one for a little bit, but like that was what they do for the weekend. They would just snowmobile around and there'd be snowmobile trails on the old railroad tracks. And then people would go across the lakes if they were frozen. And then sometimes they would try to jump water spots.
Right.
So,
a dangerous activity and we don't recommend
it. Snowmobile safely.
Yeah, please snowmobile safely if you get a chance. But, go fast. I remember being a kid and we went to my father's friend who had a farm where it was like a cabin, a rural setting. And so there was quite a bit of space and they had snowmobiles. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, do you want to go on it? So I put my snowsuit on and we went on and I didn't expect it to go as fast as it did. But it was so much fun.
Yeah. We had three-wheelers. And then when three-wheelers are like all-terrain vehicles, and they don't make them anymore because they're kind of dangerous.
Right.
Now they're four-wheelers.
I see.
But we had three-wheelers. And then when my brother got the snowmobile, I was like, oh, my God, the snowmobile is so much faster than the three-wheeler.
Right. I didn't realize they didn't make three-wheelers anymore.
They might, but when they came out, they found that they were kind of dangerous. They were flipping.
Let me ask you this. What is your preferred beverage? It's snowing outside. It's the holidays, December, January. It's cold and crisp, not too crazy cold. It's cold outside. You just had fun. You're taking off your scarf, your jacket. You're settling in with some friends. What is your beverage?
Hot chocolate Baileys in it.
Oh, an adult hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I love hot chocolate.
Well, hot chocolate and then with Baileys if I'm an adult. Yes.
Fair enough.
What about you? What's your drink?
Okay, so that's a great question. So this hot chocolate with Baileys is up my alley for sure. But I also love anything with cinnamon. So if you give me eggnog that has brandy, rum, or even just eggnog like that, and fresh grated nutmeg or fresh grated cinnamon. And it's fine to use the stuff that's already been grated. Mm-hmm. But when you grate those spices fresh on your eggnog, you don't need much because they're so pungent and so aromatic, right? That put on a roaring fire in a fireplace with some friends is all I need.
Mm-hmm.
Although I must say, I never enjoyed going to fetch the wood for the fireplace. I don't know if you had to do that.
Well, again, because we had that 200-acre forest.
Sure.
Every summer, my dad would cut down some trees.
Sure.
And then we'd be hours there, like, chopping up wood and collecting it and
tagging it,
taking it back. And then, like, so then we had it on the farm, and then it was always a fight because we had a fireplace right in our...
A proper fireplace.
We had a proper
fireplace.
We had two. We had one in the basement and one on the main floor. So, like, who was going to be the person to go outside and get the wood and bring it in? So that was... Or who was going to chop it?
Oh, man.
And then that was the big...
Plus, then you have to split the wood, right?
Yeah.
It's not just chopping down a tree and then chopping the wood. You've got to split it so that it's in...
With an axe. Yeah, you split it with an axe.
What are they called? You call it something. I can't remember now. But it's a term when you split the wood And you, I'm sure someone's listening and they're just screaming out the word for it. But then you got to let the wood dry so that it's nice and dry for burning in the winter. And you got to cover it so it doesn't get wet and all those things.
All that stuff.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to stay warm and have a cozy fireplace. But it's so worth it.
Well, my dad used to get like this grill thing and he would put steak on. Like it was like this metal thing that you would, you could put a piece of steak in between and like put it on the fire.
Yum.
And then, so I remember, like, I remember making steak that way when I was a kid, like just putting it on the fireplace.
I remember, so my grandparents had, I don't even know what you'd call it. And I'm just, once again, look at me, I'm saying all these things and people are going to be, but it was a proper pot to put chestnuts in that you would roast. So the pot had little holes in it, like all around.
So it was literally chestnuts roasting on an open fire?
100%.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was, and you would score the chestnut, put it in this pot, put the lid on it, and you put it in the oven. Or sorry, not the oven, the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Let it get hot, give it a shake, let it get hot, pull them out, and then you have freshly roasted chestnuts on an open fire. And I think that's a great place to end this holiday episode.
Okay.
Liz, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very so much for having me.
And thank you for sharing your memories of growing up on a farm.
Mm.
We should mention, where was your farm? I didn't even ask you that.
Well, it was in the Kawarthas.
The Kawarthas, a beautiful area of Ontario. Mm-hmm. So lovely. As are you. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you
for
so much, Marco.
Being on The Insomnia Project. As always, The Insomnia Project is produced by Trumcast Productions, and this episode was recorded in snowy Toronto,